On today's episode of Locked On Oilers, we are talking about the five prospects that are just this close to making the big club. Who are they and just what will they need to do to make the Edmonton Oilers next year? Plus, Duncan Keith's final season report card of his career and the ghost of Oilers past. Where is he and what is he doing now? We will talk about that and so much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Oilers podcast. I am your host and former Oilers game day producer, Brett Holden. On today's episode, as mentioned, we're going to be talking about four Edmonton Oilers prospects who could make the team next year, and one honorable mention, so five in total, who could make the Edmonton Oilers roster next year. Plus, we're going to be talking about Duncan Keith's season. I know a lot of people did not like Duncan Keith as an Edmonton Oiler, but I seem to be one of his few fans. So how do I think he did this season? Plus, we are talking about one of the most swagged out Edmonton Oilers of all time with a tinted visor and a name with Esh and Cough in it. I will leave that up to you and try and figure out who that is by the end of the episode or by the time we get to the Ghost of Oilers Pass. Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast. Alrighty, let's get into the four prospects that I think that is on the precipice of making the Edmonton Oilers, and one honorable mention, just for time's sake, who could make the Edmonton Oilers at some point this season. The first name that I'm going to mention, I think, is a name that's already etched in there, but I think I would be remiss not to mention him, and that's Dylan Holloway, a guy who played very strong games and minutes down in the AHL in Bakersfield with the Condors down there. After his season in the NCAA, he got a wrist surgery. A little bit of a question mark on whether or not he would be ready for the start of the season, when he would really be ready. He got healthy, came into the lineup for the Bakersfield Condors, and in 33 games played, 8 goals, 14 assists for him there, 22 points, coming off a very solid season in the NCAA the season before with an injured wrist. He had 23 games played, 11 goals, 24 assists, good for 35 points. The kid's got the talent to score, but he knows what to do. He's a fantastic skater. He did get a game with the Edmonton Oilers last year. I'm going to call that a wash. That was basically, I don't even know what to call that. That was an awful, awful call to have Dylan Holloway play 3 minutes and 27 seconds of Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals against the Colorado Avalanche. It was awful. The Edmonton Oilers needed a spark, and there's Dylan Holloway sitting there the entire third period. Didn't get a shift in the third period. Didn't get a shift in overtime. What the point even was to bring him up and play in that game was beyond me, because Josh Archibald would have done the exact same thing. Either way, I think Dylan Holloway will be on the Edmonton Oilers. I don't think that's a hot take. Everyone's going, oh, yeah, obviously. He's going to be on the Oilers, but I would be remiss to have a list like this and not mention Dylan Holloway. The next name that could make the Edmonton Oilers this year. Now, this name is mentioned in interviews with one, including Ryan Rashog with TSN, saying, I think I can make this team. There's a couple people around the team and around Edmonton who think this kid might actually make the team, and that is Xavier Borgo. Yes, Xavier Borgo had a fantastic season in Shawinigan last year. They made it to the Memorial Cup final, lost to the Kingston Frontenacs. The Frontenacs. Was it the Frontenacs or was the Frontenacs? Was it the Frontenacs? I believe it was the Frontenacs. It was a team with Mason McTavish on it. The Hamilton Bulldogs. There we go. I was thinking of Shane Wright. Excuse me. It was the Hamilton Bulldogs, an absolute wagon of a team. But yes, the same colors. Excuse me. It was the Hamilton Bulldogs. But yes, Shawinigan had a fantastic season. A lot to do with Xavier Borgo's production and development with his career. 43 games played for him last year in Shawinigan, 36 goals, 39 assists, good for 75 points in the regular season. And then he continued it in the playoffs. 16 games played for Borgo in the playoffs, 12 goals, 10 assists, 22 points. And then he went to the Memorial Cup. 4 games played, 2 goals, 5 assists, 7 points. Very, very, very solid season for Xavier Borgo there. And you saw a lot of development and growth in Xavier Borgo. He was really willing to get into the corners, find free space, and make himself available for his teammates, but also could play in his own end. He has a tenacity about him. It's a weird tenacity coming out of the QMJHL, but a lot of the very top-end talents have this. No, I don't even want to say a dirty side, but just has that bite in him like a dog. And that's what Xavier Borgo has. Even look at what a guy like Nathan MacKinnon, who played in the QMJHL, now, given that was the Halifax Mooseheads and not within Quebec itself, but still in the QMJHL, he still has that bite. He still has that, did Nathan MacKinnon really just do that? Take a look at the potential knee-on-knee between him and Leon Draisaitl during the playoffs. Again, not putting my opinion in that, but that's just an example. So Xavier Borgo could very well be a guy who slips into that Oilers bottom six. Could you imagine a line of Dylan Holloway, Ryan McLeod, and Xavier Borgo? Kind of makes a lot of sense to me, does it not? Is it not to you? It's kind of exciting. Now, I know that's not a whole bunch of experience, but that's kind of the point. You got experience on the top two lines. Why not just have a fun group of line mates who have chemistry with each other? They're all young players now, given they haven't all played with each other for X amount of time, but still. These are young players going out there wanting to prove themselves. What's better for a team who people already have to worry about Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl? Now you have to worry about a bunch of kids who have to prove themselves. That's pretty exciting. But Xavier Borgo could make the team. The next name for the Edmonton Oilers, who I think should make the team, he will be around the team for basically the entire season, I think. But I think he needs to be a very important part of the Edmonton Oilers this season. And that is Markus Niemelainen. What Markus Niemelainen brings to the Edmonton Oilers is something that the Edmonton Oilers don't have. He's a smooth skater. He can skate. Weirdly enough, he can move the puck, but he's a big boy. He is a big boy. And in his 20 games, I was very much corrected on that. Excuse me. I said 10. It was 20. In his 20 games that he played, he still sat in the top 5 of the Edmonton Oilers in hits with 82. Said 81. It was 82. I must have forgotten one hip check. 82. In 20 games. Imagine he played even 40. Imagine he played 60. That is intimidation through the head. Could you imagine skaters coming in? Could you imagine a Johnny Gaudreau, sorry, Calgary, coming in on a 6'6" Markus Niemelainen looking up and going, I'm going to get hit. It's not going to be fun. I think Markus Niemelainen needs to be an important part of the Edmonton Oilers. I mentioned he can move the puck a little bit. It's not the main part of his game, but he's able to do it. Last year in Bakersfield, he had 34 games played, 2 goals, 6 assists, 8 points for him there. He did split time, obviously, with the Oilers as well. But as he also missed some time because he welcomed a kid into the world. His wife gave birth during the season, so he was there on paternal leave for a little bit. He also got an injury. So, thing is, that's a mature player already. He's not even really a rookie. That's a matured man right there. So, Markus Niemelainen, I think, should be an important part of the Edmonton Oilers next year, or at least a part of the Oilers next year. The final name, well, the fourth name that I have here before our honorable mention, is a name that's been weirdly getting some love over the last year or so. And that's Vincent Desharnais. Vincent Desharnais was one of those black aces that was called up from the Bakersfield Condors after their season ended to skate around with the Edmonton Oilers just in case a couple injuries came about. Maybe the black ace comes in. Kind of similar to what happened with Dylan Holloway. But Vincent Desharnais has been weirdly mentioned as one of those outside shots to make the team. Now, I understand if you don't recognize this name. The Edmonton Oilers selected Vincent Desharnais with the 83rd selection in the 2016 NHL draft. That was the same draft that the Edmonton Oilers selected Jesse Puljujärvi. The Oilers selected Desharnais in the 7th round, and right now, as a 26-year-old, Desharnais stands at 6'7", 229 pounds. Could you imagine skating in on the Edmonton Oilers, and you have to decide whether or not you're going to take on Marcus Niemelainen or a 6'7", 230-pound Vincent Desharnais? I'm going to go with neither. I'm going to dump and I'm going to change, actually. That's going to be my idea. But last year, he was brought into the Edmonton Oilers on an AHL deal. He wasn't that. He was kind of a show what you got type deal. He played under Dave Manson, who seems to be an Edmonton Oilers assistant coach, and also under Jay Woodcroft. And those are two massive believers in Vincent Desharnais. If they're believers in the guy who have had experience with the guy, then I am too. Last year in 66 games played for Desharnais, 5 goals, 22 assists, 27 points. He mostly played at 5-on-5 and on the penalty kill. And when he was playing last year in Bakersfield, his major thing was making sure that he works on his skating and his speed and his coverage ability. Seems like he's done that. Could he get a shot? I think he could. I think he could, and I think he might as well make the most of it there. Those are the four Edmonton Oilers prospects that I think could make the team next year. My one honorable mention is Dmitry Samarukov. I mention him as an honorable mention, A, because we're going a little heavy on time here, and B, I think possibly Samarukov might be moved. It seems like he's always been that guy, an easily accessible asset in a trade because he does have that offensive upside. He's played in the OHL in most of his junior career, so he has familiarity with the North American game. He's played in Bakersfield for the last couple of years. He's NHL ready, but do the Oilers have a spot for him? I'm not sure. He could be a very solid asset somewhere else. Plus, the thing about him too is, especially compared to a Vincent Desharnais, is that Samarukov is waiver eligible where Desharnais isn't. So if the Edmonton Oilers wanted to send down one of those guys or call up one of those guys, Desharnais would probably get the call over Samarukov because Desharnais wouldn't have to go. Long-winded, but either way, I like Dmitry Samarukov. I like, honestly, all of those prospects. I would be okay with any or all of them making the team as long as they are contributing. But from players who are making or trying to make their first NHL roster to a guy who has finally called it a career, and what a career it was, we're going to be talking about Duncan Keith's final season as an Edmonton Oiler. Well, final season in the NHL, which was as an Edmonton Oiler. We will get to that in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about our partners over at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events and the number one online source for all your odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. I don't know how they said even golf when esports was the one before, but either way, to teach your own, or to each their own is the word I'm looking for. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information, from live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They have you covered. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. By the way, I said in that ad read, I don't know why they have golf over esports or after esports. Full love to esports, by the way. I didn't mean that as a knock to esports in any way. But I was just interested in the way that even golf. Yeah, no kidding. Golf is fun. Anyways, a guy who's going to be golfing a lot over the next few months and years, really, is Duncan Keith, because he has a bunch of time now on his hands, playing in his final game in the final season, I should say, in the NHL, and finally with the one team other than the Chicago Blackhawks, that was the Edmonton Oilers, and that means we get to talk about how he did as an Edmonton Oiler in Duncan Keith's season report card. Now, I know that a lot of people were not massive fans of the Duncan Keith trade. I know Caleb Jones, who was seemingly a beloved Edmonton Oiler while he was an Edmonton Oiler, if you took a look on Twitter after he got traded, and along with a second round pick or third round pick, I believe, that turned into a second. It was a conditional pick, and so the Edmonton Oilers could take on Duncan Keith. Now, a lot of people sat there and went, oh, why'd you put that extra pick in there? Now, the Edmonton Oilers were supposed to get a little bit of cap relief if he retired. Seemed like the NHL went, oh, yeah, you're not the Tampa Bay Lightning, so we're going to actually say no to that. So the Edmonton Oilers didn't get that for whatever reason. They still saved a bunch of contracts, a bunch of salary cap, excuse me. But it wasn't as much as they should have been. Thanks, NHL. Classic NHL. But anyways, we're talking about Duncan Keith's season. And that season, offensively, wasn't too great. 64 games played, one goal for him in the season. 20 assists, good for 21 points. And then in the playoffs, not too bad, to be honest with you. 16 games played, one goal, four assists, 5 points for him. I say not bad because, especially considering the season that he had, that wasn't too great. But was a little bit better. But still, Duncan Keith coming in, playing at, what, 38 years old. The thing about Duncan Keith, and the thing that really made Duncan Keith the most effective, is not necessarily what he did directly with the puck or on the ice, but what he did off the ice and to the mentality of the players around him. More specifically, Evan Bouchard, who has come into his own, as we mentioned on yesterday's podcast, as a potential leader for the Edmonton Oilers going forward. And why? Because he's learned how to become a pro from one of the best defensemen of the last generation. I will stand by that. A 3-time Stanley Cup winner, a 2-time gold medalist, a 2-time Norris Trophy winner. The guy's won a Conn Smythe Award. He is one of, if not, you know what, I will say it, the best defenseman over the last generation. And the Edmonton Oilers defensemen, and young players like Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl were able to learn from Duncan Keith. They wanted him. They realized how difficult it was to play against him in the bubble, and they realized what type of player and leader he is. And those are the types of players that you need to win a cup. Look at any team who has won the Stanley Cup over the last X amount of years. They have always had somebody where you're like, oh, why is he on the team? Well, he's been there before. Look at Darren Helm. Darren Helm won the Colorado Avalanche a Stanley Cup, and a lot of people went, oh, it's the legend of Darren Helm and all whatever it's called, irony. But either way, he's now, again, a Stanley Cup winner. And so are the Colorado Avalanche. That is why Duncan Keith was brought into the Edmonton Oilers. And the Edmonton Oilers made it to the Western Conference Final. And that's no fluke. That's no fluke. But we're going to get into my favorite advanced stats. By the way, people call me an analytics guy. I am not at all. I talk about two stats. Goals for per 60 minutes and goals against per 60 minutes. If you came to me about Fenwick or Corsi, you might as well be speaking Spanish. But I am learning Portuguese, so I might learn a couple words. Anyways, in all situations at for goals for per 60 minutes, Duncan Keith had 2.89 goals for per 60 minutes, which was good for 15th. I mean, the guy had one goal and 21 points, so understandable. But in all situations, goals against per 60 was a 2.72, which was good for 11th on the Oilers, which was better than Evan Bouchard and Chris Russell, two guys who are, well, I brought in Evan Bouchard because he's a guy who needs to get better defensively, but Chris Russell is a defensive god. So being higher than him is pretty impressive, and was lower, however, than Tyson Barrie. That was interesting. At 5-on-5, Duncan Keith had a 2.93 goals for per 60 minutes, which was actually 8th on the team, higher than Tyson Barrie, Evan Bouchard, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Kyler Yamamoto, and Darnell Nurse. So at 5-on-5, despite the fact he only had a goal and 21 points, pretty productive, all things considered, especially considering the guys he was more productive than. Those guys are guys who are expected to produce offensively, and Duncan Keith did that better than them at 5-on-5. But also at 5-on-5, Duncan Keith had a 2.13 goals against per 60 minutes, which was good for third on the team. So he came in and did a job in, well, basically on 5-on-5, but in the regular season for the Edmonton Oilers. For that, Duncan Keith, a B+. I know a lot of people aren't going to be happy about that, but again, it's not necessarily about what a player does on the ice. Obviously, you saw the advanced stats I put in quotes or air quotes at the third or at the goals against and goals for per 60 minutes. But he still was influential for the rest of the career of Evan Bouchard, of Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Darnell Nurse, even Tyson Barrie as well. Philip Broberg was around the team for a little while as well. He got to learn from Duncan Keith too. It's a lot more than just what you do on the ice. I can say that all day. A lot of people won't believe it because all they play is NHL and think that's real life. But anyways, let's move on to the ghost of Oilers past. If you haven't figured out who the swagged out Eshkoff is yet, we are going to get to him in just a second. One final clue. He was a defenseman. We will get to that in just a second. But first, who do you think are the best NFL players in the league? Well, which NFL stars are moving the betting lines the most? Starting July 18th, Locked On gives you the 50 most valuable players in the NFL from the odds makers at BetOnline. Available July 18th on Locked On NFL, wherever you get your podcasts, and it's up on YouTube as well. Who do you think? Who do you think it is? I said Tom Brady yesterday. I hope it's not Tom Brady. I think it's going to be... If I had to throw out another name, it could also potentially be Aaron Donald. Let's get a little love for the defenders, huh? A little bit of love for defense. I love playing defense growing up. I was a defensive end as well. It may not look like it because I'm 5'10 and 280. That's But anyways, we're not talking about me. We are talking about the ghost of Oilers past. And today's ghost of Oilers past is Dennis Grebishkov. Yes, if you got it, ding, 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 good for you. I don't have any prizes for you, but let me know if you actually got it, because that's pretty funny. But Dennis Grebishkov had a pretty interesting career in the NHL and as an Edmonton Oiler in his Oilers career. 197 games played, which was shocking to me. Almost 200 games for Dennis Grebishkov as an Oiler. 16 goals, 61 assists for Grebishkov, 77 points as an Oiler. His best season came in 2008-2009 with the Edmonton Oilers, with 72 games played, 7 goals, and 32 assists, good for 39 points. That is almost Evan Bouchard-type numbers. How about that, Greb? I love it. Now, funny thing about Denis Grebashkov, and this is a personal thing. We'll get back into Grebashkov and where he's at right now. But when the Edmonton Oilers first acquired Denis Grebashkov, earlier that day on Chell, like NHL 2007, 2008, I traded for Denis Grebashkov to the Edmonton Oilers. Later that day, the Oilers got him, I think from the New York Islanders, if I'm not mistaken. But in his final season with the Edmonton Oilers in 2013-2014, after he came back to the Edmonton Oilers after traveling around the NHL and also going back to Europe as well, 7 games played for him up here with the big club, no goals, 1 assist. Kind of wish he could make those 3 extra games and just have that 200 games played as the Edmonton Oilers, or as an Edmonton Oiler, excuse me, but couldn't do it. He also played, which was the reason why, if you're on YouTube, I brought up my OKC jersey today. He mostly played in OKC in the AHL that year for the Oilers. 39 games played, 2 goals, 7 assists, good for 9 points in the AHL. After that season, he would head off to the, excuse me if I mispronounce this, Vityaz Podolsk in the KHL, where he would go on to play his final professional career, or final professional season, I should say, in his career. He played 52 games, 1 goal, 10 assists, 11 points, as I mentioned. He retired after that year. He is now actually an assistant coach in Russia, in the MHL, excuse me, which, if I'm not mistaken, I think that is like the equivalent of the CHL in Russia. He is an assistant coach for Lokomotiv Yaroslavl. I found that kind of interesting. Also, Lokomotiv was the team that Ilya Konovalov, excuse me, how quickly they forget. It was the team that Ilya Konovalov came over from. Obviously, Konovalov terminated his contract and is no longer an Oiler, but he will be an Oiler in my heart, damn it. But that is where we're going to call it today. Denis Grebashkov, your ghost of Oilers past today. Who should we talk about next for the Ghost of Oilers Past? Who's a random Oiler that comes to your mind? I want to know. What is going on in your world? What do you think the Edmonton Oilers will do? Things have gone a little quiet. So, I mean, we talked about prospects today during the summer. What are we doing? Kenny, wake up. We need a trade. We need a movement. We need something to talk about. Either way, let's call it there. I hope you have a wonderful Wednesday. It seems nice again. We're finally getting a nice string of weather. I hope you have a wonderful day. Stay safe. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. And make sure, after you tuned in to Locked On Oilers for your second listen, you tune in to Locked On NHL, where Locked On experts give you a daily 30-minute podcast on all things NHL all year long. Stay up to date on everything in the hockey world. Locked On NHL, your daily 30-minute podcast. I will send you off once again on that. Stay safe.